This conference will now be recorded.
Amen. We want to welcome you to our grief support meeting for the month of July. We're hoping that during our conference, our meeting, that somebody will be blessed and somebody will be enlightened. We're going to be talking about the grieving person Bill of Rights. We're going to be talking from that perspective, let you know that you have rights even in the grieving process. So we are going to have our devotion. We're going to have a song. We're going to have just a song and a prayer. And we'll go from there. We're going to have a scripture and a prayer. I mean, just scripture and prayer. Do someone have a scripture for us?
John 14, 1, and then John 14, 1 says, I'll be reading out the NIV. Do not let your heart, sir.
Go ahead.
Okay. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. John 14 and 27. Read. Peace I leave with you. My peace I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. I read again John 14, 1 and 27. May the Lord add a blessing to the reader and do his holy word.
Amen. Father, we come today as we have in times past, acknowledge you as our Lord and our Savior, the true and living God, the mighty God, the one that is able to supply all of our needs. And Father, as we assemble here in this hour in our grief support meeting, Lord God, we ask that your spirit will be in the midst, that it would meet every need, whether we need comforting, direction, instructions. We ask, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit will assist us in every area that is needed, that it will direct us and give us words in our mouth that we might comfort one another. For your word says we are helpers one to another. And Lord, we just ask that as we go forward from our presentation, our discussion, we just pray, Lord, that those that are on our conference call this evening will be helped, that they'll be blessed, they'll be enlightened, be strengthened and directed. We thank you for all that's on the call within this hour. And Lord, we pray for others that is suffering from grief of various times, loss of loved one, unemployment, divorce rate, Lord, mental conditions, physical conditions, Lord God, we just lift them up before you. But we are just so thankful, Lord God, for what you're doing in this hour. Now be with us as we go forth in our presentation, our discussion, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, again, good evening. We give our praise to the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. We're so thankful that the Lord has blessed us to keep on keeping on in the midst of this coronavirus. We are a people of faith. And there was a song they used to sing back in the day, Ain't No Stopping Us Now. We on the move. So we are very excited about what the Lord is doing. And I want to encourage us in advance, keep your head up. It's not as bad as it appears, because our hope is in the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So,
okay. Tonight, I want to ask you to mute your phones until you're going to make remarks. If you're not talking, just hit the mute button. If you don't have a mute button, hit star 6, and it'll cut down on the interference and the background noise. So Sister V going to start. She have a spiritual game that she's going to introduce to us. And after Sister V finished, then we'll go into the grieving person, Bill of Rights. So now it's in the head, Sister V.
Amen. I need three people again. We're going to make it short. And I need three volunteers. Reverend Joseph, I'm volunteering you, though. Reverend Joseph, you here? You there? Anybody?
Yes. Else? Yes, I'm here. I had to unmute my phone.
Oh, okay. I want two, and I need two more people. It's just for fun. Just to relax. Who's that?
Is that somebody else? Okay,
how many you have? How many you have?
I just have one.
I volunteer.
Okay. Melissa Thomas. All right. And one more. Just one more person. Well, anyway, okay. We're going to go on, though. It's just
Brother Don.
Brother Don. All right. Okay, this is a familiar game, though, but this is a game that you can't say and. We're going to do two, and. And the word I give you, I'm going to give you a word, and I'm going to do an example. I'm going to give you a word, and you're going to have to say that word with another word. I'm going to do an example. You're going to have 20 seconds. If you can say what you got to say within that, when the bell rings, you made it through. But if you say or you lost. Okay, you got it. Okay, I'm a demonstrator. Okay, mine is peace. Okay, I'm ready. Go. Peace passes all understanding. Peace is joy. Peace is love. Peace is happiness. Peace is his word. Peace is not worry. Peace is hope. Peace is joy. Peace is calling on the Lord. Peace is rest. Peace is Jesus. Peace is calm. Peace. You hear the bell? I made it. Woo, how small I am. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I have to do it like this. I can't give you your word yet until it's your turn. All right. Reverend Joseph, I want you to do Satan. And you tell me when you ready? You're going to do the word Satan. You got to have to say Satan in every word you say or whatever you're going to say. You got to say Satan first, okay?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Ready? Go.
Satan is here to steal, kill, also known as a destroyer. It is important that we acknowledge Satan as evil. It's important that we trust God to help us defend Satan. Satan doesn't want victory for you. Satan doesn't want you to prosper.
You made it. Good job. Y'all give a big hand. All right. All right. Okay. Who's next? Melissa Thomas, you're gonna be next?
That's fine.
I'm gonna give you love. All right? Are you ready?
All right.
Go.
Yes. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is of God. Love can be a major lifestyle if we use it properly. Above all things, love is important.
You made it. You made it. Oh. All right. I'll give up big hands. You made it. Good job. All right. Okay. Reverend Don.
I'm ready.
Are you ready? Yours is hallelujah. Are you ready? Go. Come on, you got to speed up.
Hallelujah is praise. Hallelujah is calling out to the Lord. Hallelujah is in the Bible. Hallelujah is a sunset. Hallelujah is a wake up. Hallelujah is my Jesus walking with me. Hallelujah is an angel coming down to give me aid. Hallelujah is my church family. Hallelujah is my family.
Made it. Hallelujah. Woo! Good job. All right, we'll turn it over to our pastor. Thank you all so much.
Amen. Amen.
All right, pastor.
I have to move over. I'm doing something else.
All right, very good. Amen. I think, Sister V, you might come and work with us as preachers and teachers, you know, to kind of move some of the crutch and filler words that we use. So we might bring you out to help us. Thank y'all. Very good. All y'all that participated. Tonight, we'll be talking about the grieving person Bill of Rights. How many of you know that even in the midst of our grieving, we have rights? Now, when we talk about the Bill of Rights, I think it's the 10 Amendments. It's the freedom of speech, press, and religion.
So even in our grieving, we have freedom of speech to express ourselves and our feelings. So just like the Bill of Rights issue entitled to that, no one should take that away from you. So this evening, we want to cover 10 things that's going to help us in our grieving. And when we talk about grief, grief is a response to the loss, particularly loss of a loved one. And when we lose a loved one, someone that is dear for us, it just takes effect on us. Now, even in with some people, grief, loss of jobs, loss of finance, divorce, sickness. So grief is not just pertaining to death, but grief has many angles and it comes to us in many ways of life. And all of us on the conference call this evening has experienced some type of grief. So it's this response, particularly to the loss of a loved one. It's emotional response, there's a physical response, a behavior response, there's a spiritual response, and we could say a psychological response. So all of us respond to grief different. But one thing that we do know, we have grief in our lives. I want to read one scripture for you before we get started here. Isaiah 53 and 10 says, is it Isaiah? I didn't turn my page. Okay, we're going to read Psalms 6 and 7. My eyes is consumed because of grief. It's waxed old because of all of my enemies. So this is David here. He is sharing with us what he was dealing with. He was dealing with grief because he said his eyes is consumed because of grief. I think one of the previous verse say, I water my couch with tears. So that lets us know that many times when we're dealing with grief, our emotional response said, you know, we shed tears, we cry. So there's nothing wrong with crying in that hour. And some of the things that we're going to get into one segment probably next month, things that we shouldn't say when we are talking to people in that season of grief. So you have the right, the grieving a person, Bill of Rights. First thing we want to let you have the right to experience your own unique grief. You have the right. No one will grieve the same way you do. So when you turn to others for help, don't let them tell you how you should be feeling. How many of us have, out of good intention, many of us have been guilty of, you know, telling somebody, you should get over that. And, you know, the Lord will make a way and the Lord will see you through. And you need to go on a cruise and you need to go on a vacation. And you know, we mean well and had some good points, but not at that particular time. So don't let no one tell you how you should be feeling. No one experienced what you feel. Only you actually know how you feel. And what we see is on the outside. So I'm going to cover a few more, then we're going to open it up for remarks. So the second one, talk about your grief. Talking about your grief will help you heal. Seek out others who will let you talk as much as you want, as often as you want to. Okay? Talk about your grief. Share your emotional, mental feelings. Talk about your grief. Tell people how you feel. And one of the things that we have when we go over to Laureland, if any of you have not been over there, some people, you know, I've never known people to grieve 7 years, 10 years. And many of the people that come to our grief support there, they've been grieving the loss of their loved one for 7 years. And they are really, it's just like it just happened yesterday. And one of the things we learned in that class, you don't tell nobody how to grieve. You don't. You still dealing with. You should have done got over that. Now that's a no-no. We don't tell people how to grieve. But what we do, we be an ear or a shoulder for them to talk about it. And many times, that's the process. That's the first step of healing. That you have accepted what has happened. You can't change it. You can't bring them back. You can't go back and erase it. So what you do now, you talk about it. And in the talking process, it's a process of admitting that, hey, I got to get on with my life. So that's the beginning of the healing process when you should talk about it. Now, there's sometimes you just can't talk to anybody about your inner feelings. It says seek out others who will let you talk. There's some people ain't going to let you talk in your grieving process. They got all of the answers. They got the magic wand. They're going to wave it and try to give you the impression that that's all right and you don't need to be going through that. But they don't know you. They don't know your feelings. The third thing we're going to talk about, feel a multitude of emotions. Now, when we are in the grief process, we are emotional people. That's the way God made us. We serve an emotional God. And when we are dealing with grief, we are disturbed emotion. You will feel many emotions during your grief journey. And they're going to come at various times. Somebody might tell you that feeling angry, for an example, is wrong. Yeah, they're going to tell you that. So don't take the judgment response to heart. Instead, just find listeners who will accept your feeling without conditions. So even in our emotional state, we feel angry. They used to tell us that you shouldn't question God, or you shouldn't get angry at God, you shouldn't get upset with God. But when we read our Bibles, we've seen the greatest people that God used, they had issues with God, even in good times. So God understands that it is really not us. It is the emotional state that we're dealing with. And yes, you feel angry. I know that when I lost a loved one, my sister, and I know she has some health issues, but during my grief state or my grief season, I was angry, and I was angry about her dying. Why didn't you tell me that you were that sick? I could have got you some help. So all of these things begin to bombard your mind and your spirit when you're dealing with grief. And I wasn't upset at God. I was just upset because if she would have told me, I felt like, well, we could have did something different. Maybe we could have found a special. And these type things go through our mind. And sometimes people are actually upset at God. But, you know, that's okay. God understands that. But yet and still, find someone, some listener will accept your feelings without condition. That means somebody's not going to judge you and say, well, you're crazy, or you need to get some help. So you need to find that person just will let you vent. Somebody will lend their shoulder for you to cry on and, you know, just going to listen to you. And that's what many people need today. People are not really looking for somebody to have all the answers. They're just looking for somebody that's going to listen. Yeah, they want somebody to just listen and let them vent. And one thing that we learned as pastors and even in our counseling sessions and even in couples counseling, that's what it's about. It's just listening, because one of them going to say, well, don't nobody listen to me. Every time I try to say, somebody cut me off. So, you know, we just peacekeepers. We just listen and we pray with them. And that's a great help within itself. So never assume that you got all of the answers. And you could be the most anointed one of God, but that doesn't make you super. Okay. The fourth thing we're going to talk about, be tolerant of your physical and emotional limits. Be tolerant. Your feeling of loss and sadness can fatigue you. It can wear you out. Because in this season, when we're dealing with grief and when we're going through the loss of a loved one, or loss of a job, or a divorce, or bad news or physically, it drains us, because all of our energy is dealt toward in our thought processes. What's going on? What really happened? Did I really deserve that? Could I have been something different? So you're going to feel fatigue. In other words, you're not going to have any energy. You're not going to be thinking about going to church. You're not going to be thinking about praying. You're not going to be thinking about going on vacation or none of that. And some people, Dr. Cunningham, the one that spoke for us in January, she said she just forgot about herself for 6 months. She just looked like a zombie. Okay, so it can you feel of loss and sadness, and it can fatigue you. Respect what your body and mind tell you. You know, sometimes when we get to a state of physical decline, the body begins to sign out sickness, saying that you need to eat, you need to get some rest, or you need to step away, or you need to accept what has happened. You remember when David was dealing with the loss of the baby, his child, and he listened to what his body was saying, because the text tells us that David got up and ate a meal, refreshing himself, put on clean clothes, and got up and, you know, went on and get back, start back to serving God. But listen to what your body and mind tell you. Another thing is that you need daily rest. Now, rest is not always sleep. Many times when we speak of rest, we think we need to prop up in a recliner somewhere and set the thermostat and wrap up in a blanket and go to sleep. That is, the rest is not always sleep. Rest is a peace of mind. It's a great good rest. Another thing we could do is when we're grieving, eat balanced meals, something that's nutritious and, you know, that's got good nutritional value for the body. And don't allow others to push you in the activities that you're not ready for. Don't allow no one to take you on a vacation, go on a cruise, family reunion, when you are dealing with grief, because you're just going to sit there and you're not going to feel a part of the party. And so don't let no one talk you into it. You know, just say, no, I'm going to pass on this. And they're going to tell you, well, you need to get out of the house. You need to come. What's going to do you good? Well, if you're not feeling it, don't do it. Don't go. And don't let no one talk you out there, because when you get out there and everybody going to see that you're grieving, what's wrong with you? Are you all right? Y'all know the process. And that's one of the things that I done lost several loved ones in my family. And in my grief process, I didn't want to be around people because the things that I feel so sorry for you. There's anything that I know they meant well, but just repetition. Everybody saying the same thing. I just want to say, why don't y'all just go away? You know, because at that moment, I didn't want to hear it. I wasn't feeling it. And so I had to go through that process. And sometime now that we are having this class, we're going to cover some important literature, some important teaching that we will be able to assist somebody. We're going to know what to say and what not to say. We're going to know how to conduct ourselves when we're dealing with somebody that is grieving. Because sometimes we mean well, but we just... fifth thing. Okay, then after the fifth thing, we're going to open up and talk about the first five, and then we're going to go into the last five for the remainder of the hour. The fifth thing we're going to talk about, experiencing grief attacks. Now, grief attacks meaning that your emotional state is going to fluctuate. You're going to have those moments where you just might cry. And after the crying, then you're going to have those withdrawn moments. You're going to have those sad moments, and then you'll have those real deep thoughts moments. So experiencing grief attacks, and they come at various times. And then sometimes we're going to feel that we're over this, and you might think that you're ready to go and be a mix and mingle. And by the time you get out there, one of those moments going to hit you. And so sometimes a powerful surge of grief may overcome you. That's natural. But one thing that it's going it's going to help us, if you know these, what might happen, these attacks, then you will know what's happening when it happens. So grief may overcome you. This can be frightening, but it is normal. So find someone who understands and let you talk it out. So if I'm dealing with heavy grief and I want to get out of the house, most likely I want to go with someone that understands what I'm dealing with. So if I have a heavy grief attack, a powerful surge of grief while we out and about, they'll know you ain't got to dial 911 and, you know, panic with me. Just understand what I'm going through. So that's a help. It's kind of like when you dial 911 and the paramedics come, they want to understand, what are you going through? What are you hurt? And so many times, knowing the process of grief when you're dealing with people, you know, many people have shortness of breath and they go into panic attack and they have these anxiety attacks. So by us being knowledgeable that a person has lost a loved one and they are grieving, we know what to do and we know how to respect. We understand this as being normal. So we have to find someone. So if you're grieving, if you're dealing with grief, your people, your inner circle people should be people that understand what you're going through and especially are familiar with grief. Now, all of us have lost loved ones, but everybody is not familiar with grief, the attacks, the emotional state of grief. Yes. Okay. So right there, we're going to talk about, we're going to open it up. You have the right to grieve, experience your own unique grief, talk about your grief, feel a multitude of emotions, be tolerant of your physical and emotional limits, and experience grief attacks. You're going to have those. Okay. So if anyone has remarks, unmute your phones, and we'll open it up. And after we have talk, we will go into the last five of the Grief Person Bill of Rights. Okay. So when we talk about Bill of Rights, go ahead.
The last number five, you had said that you think you're all right, and then all of a sudden it just come back on you.
Yeah.
Different things, you know, and it's just certain times when it really hits me. You know, sometimes I'll be saying, oh, I'm over it, but it hits me more now by me going through this COVID-19 by being in the house. And so, but you know, I learned through the Bible class and prayer, you know, strength from that, but it still come, but I'm dealing with it. It's not like I don't have any hope or nothing, but it still hit me. Sometimes I wonder why is it still coming and why I still kind of cry, you know, off and on. Sometimes I start crying, don't even know, you know, what brought on it.
Well, that's the emotion.
Sometimes I be ashamed to tell people because it's been 3 years, you know, and I'm still going through that. I haven't even shared that with my sister then.
Yeah.
One thing
we have to be mindful, we are humans, and I think sometimes we try to be more than who we are. We are human beings, meaning that God created us emotional beings, and that's what we do as humans. We cry. We have sad moments, and we have these. So one thing that we do acknowledge is, hey, this is who I am, okay? And then another thing that we talk about your grief. Talk about it, just like you sharing this with us. Well, it would be good if you get to a point where you talk about it with your family members or your sisters or church members that you're comfortable with. And so that's a part of the healing process. So I know that we are spirit beings. We have a relationship with God. We are prayer warriors, and we want to bind and we want to tie up stuff, rebuke the devil. But hey, our emotions, that's in us. So that's time that we have to be truthful with ourselves and with whoever we're talking to, and just let us know. Even though we pray, we still have to go through this process.
Amen.
Anybody else? Thanks, Sister V. I didn't mean to cut you off, but you can keep on talking.
Oh, no, I'm done.
Okay. Okay. Yes. So when we talk about healing, you said it's been 3 years. When we talk about healing. Yes. Okay. Yes, right. 3 years. But understand, when we talk about healing is a process. Okay? There are some wounds heal overnight. Some heal in days, some months, some years. So when we're talking about healing process, especially when we're dealing with grief, emotional or mental, well, that's a longer process of healing, because can't nobody see that but you. If it's physical, the doctor can stitch you up, glue you up, give you some pain pills, and you're good to go. But when we're dealing with emotional and mental healing, that's a process that time have to heal.
Amen.
Anybody else?
I remember, Pastor, when I think I've told some of the members of the church before, when you talk about how you didn't think you were okay, and then you all of a sudden it hits back. Well, it reminds me of, there's a commercial, and it didn't bother me when I first saw it, but later on I started seeing it. There's a commercial talking about passion, pass it on, where the young girl is going to college. It started to remind me of when I went to college, my mom and dad would take me and help me get unpacked and everything. But then they have one now that says, I want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
When I see that commercial, oh my God. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It reminds me when I came down home in the country for the first time after my dad passed away. when we turned that corner, it was like I could see him on the porch, and I thought that I would never see him again. And I became really emotional. And so now when I hear that commercial, I want to go home. I always think about him, and I become cheerful. I think I've told my members of church, and I may have told my mom, but I haven't told my sisters and them, my brothers, how I feel when I see that commercial. But it does, and it feels like it was yesterday. Like she said, it feels like it was yesterday. But I recognize that we don't. There is no time.
No,
that's right.
We're not confined. So I thank God for that. You know, but one thing I also heard: if you love deeply, you will grieve in the same manner.
That's right. Amen. Yeah, and this is your freedom. You have the freedom to grieve. You have the freedom. That's what we call the Bill of Rights. You have your freedom to grieve. You have the freedom to express your feelings. That's a part of it.
I want to piggyback off of Minister Thomas when she's saying that, you know, when you love deep, you grieve deep. I remember when my friend passed just a month or so ago, and she was my friend. You know, I really loved her a lot. I really did. We have went back so far. She was just my friend. She was my really, really good friend. And the way she passed, it was hard because she just passed in her sleep. And I remember crying for like days. I just cried. Every time I thought about her, I would just cry and I would just cry. And it gets, as time passed, it gets a little easier, but even now, I have a picture in my phone. And every time I see that picture, my heart, it's like you just sink again because I'm thinking, you know, she's not here. You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, I feel my emotions. I feel like I want to cry some more. You know, I feel like, I just feel like, because my heart would just be so heavy when I see her picture. Or even when things happen and I think about her, you know, or something happens that make me think about her. It just makes my heart sad, you know, even though I know she's in a better place and all of that. It's just the emotions that come over me even to this day. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I'll ever get past that because we were really, really close. You know, we didn't talk a whole lot. We didn't see each other a lot, but we had that bond. And it's just, like I said, when I was looking at a picture today, and I told my mom, I said, "Mom, this is Lily." Well, mama know who Lily is. Everybody know who Lily is. That my family. But I just had, it's just like, okay, I just have to all over again. Don't forget, this is Lily. You know what I'm saying? Don't y'all forget. This is how I feel. Don't nobody forget her. But it's just that emotion that I feel when I see her picture or even think about her. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's just like you say, what you said, the feel the emotions during grief. I do. It is. Then it says tolerate the emotions. Like you said, tolerate your emotions. You have to get past it. It's something you have to get past and go on because you can't grieve yourself to death. Like I had a cousin. He had Cookie had gotten married about. They had been married maybe a couple years, and she went and got her teeth pulled. And she passed like a week later, just from getting her teeth pulled. He loved her so much. There was nothing wrong with Roy. There was nothing wrong with him. He was in good physical condition. 2 months later, he was dead. He literally grieved himself to death. You know, he just stopped living. He didn't have the will to live anymore. So we have to be careful not to just give up. We have to, like Pastor say, we have to sleep. We have to rest. We have to give ourselves time to grieve, but we can't let that just overtake us.
Amen.
I have something else to say. Another, it's not, you know, even also in my accident, you know, when I try to do different things now and I can't do what I used to do, that's a burden.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see other people can walk and move around, but this is, I'm okay, but it's just, we on this topic and it just bring us, you know, just that's when I try to exercise, I will fall, I get sick. And then I get angry. And then I call myself because I want to see the face of the person that did this to me? I mean, it's a lot of things emotionally, a lot of stuff goes in your mind when, you know, so it's more than, it's just a lot of things come up when you're
Amen.
Isolated and doing things, but mm-hmm. you got to, you know, just like you say, got to stay focused. And, man, that's why I like to talk about it. I laugh a lot, you know, because laughing do you good. And I,
yeah.
But it's just some of the things that was meant to do, that you used to do, and I, you know, but it's just a lot going on.
Amen.
But God got us, you know, I keep trusting in Him. That's all I can call on. It's on Him.
Amen. Well, what you have just introduced to us is another form of grief. When we lose our physical abilities and we have physical limitations, just like you just shared with us, we grieve that because we are independent and we used to going and getting and having movement, and then that is taken away. And the first thing, like you say, you have to deal with that anger because of the person that brought this on you, and that person going on, and you are still dealing with, you're still in the healing process a year or two later. But that's a part of grief. And so what we do, this is why we have, understand what we have, grief support. And what we are doing, we are supporters one to another. We are here, we that shoulder, we that ear, whatever you need here for you. And this is the part Sister Whiteside just shared with us about the brother that grieved himself to death. Well, if he was in a support group, somebody just to be there to listen to him and to pray with him and, you know, just coach him through, possibility he would have still been here. But you see, when you get out there on that island by yourself,
sometimes it's
hard to get back.
And
we have to be aware of that, being isolated. You know, God created us. We are people that like to be around people. You know, they have this thing, a terminology called pack animals. Well, we are human animals. We like to be around other people.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Anybody else got any more remarks?
Pastor, yes, I want to say something. I'm not going to say anything else.
Go ahead.
A few weeks ago, I did a lesson on it's okay if I'm not okay.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think what has been really important, no matter what we're feeling, we have to acknowledging it. But if we act like it's not there, I think it's so important that it's okay. Whatever we feel, it's okay to feel what we feel. Because the word tells us, Matthew 11:28 is so prevalent. It says, come unto me all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so no matter what we're going through, he said, take my yoke upon me and learn me, for my yoke is easy, my burdens are light. So no matter what we're going through, God is able to keep us. But we have to acknowledge that something, what we're feeling is different.
Right, right. So when our emotions gets in the driver's seat, I mean, prayer, scriptures, God and all that is in a far country. So this is why it's important that we be connected to a support group.
Amen.
You know, even in the midst of this pandemic, I noticed here at College Park, we have a support group. We call and check on one another and concerned about one another. It is the same thing when we are dealing with grief. You need that same interaction from people to call and check on you, you know, and let them know they're concerned about you, because many times our emotions take control. Amen. Okay. Who else? There was somebody else before Minister Thomas.
Yes, Sister Watson.
Amen.
This goes way back, Pastor. This is back when I was in my teens. I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
And that lets you know you really can really grieve even though you're much younger than what we are now.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Barber College.
Mm-hmm.
And I left home, and this was the first time I had ever left home to stay gone, you know, for quite a while.
Yes.
I would cry myself to sleep every night practicing.
Amen.
And it was And it was due to the fact because just seemed like you were in the world by yourself. Mm-hmm. Like everybody had passed away and just left me only. I done left my mom and my dad and my siblings and things, and I just knew it was gonna be so hard.
Yeah.
I was in Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't nowhere from home. But the thing about it is it was because I wasn't with them.
Yeah.
And when you're used to being at home all your life,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden this is going to be a new thing that's going on with you. So this is the way it was with me.
Amen.
I would go home on weekends. It'd be sad to come back on Sundays because I'm leaving my family. And you would be surprised how you really feel about your relatives when you leave.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
I had told Mama, I said, I don't want to go back. She said, yeah, you're going back. I feel so sad. I said, because I'm not with you all. She said, but you are with us, but you're not over here where, you know, you can be with us at all times. But that was the hardest thing for me to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when you get ready to leave home and you're on your own.
Amen.
And when I got ready to come to Dallas, I had, you know, gotten adjusted from being away from home then. It wasn't mm-hmm. near as bad, but I still would go home every weekend.
Amen.
And you know what I said? I said, Lord, I said, you swear, oh man, that I was living in a mansion. But you knew it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the way you feel when you are leaving away from home.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a type of grief too, because when something is taken out of your life, that has become a part of your life and so dear to you, just like good example, leaving home for the first time. That's a type of grief because you don't have that comfort. Mom and dad have been there ever since you've been in the world, and all of a sudden you pack up and leave for the first time. You go through that grieving process. Amen. I'm glad Mama sent you on back, because if she didn't, you would never met Beacon. Yeah. Well, all of us have experienced something similar to that when we left home the first time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very good. So we have introduced us, you and Sister V both have introduced us another type of grief that many times doesn't get much press. Because we only look at the loss of a loved one, loss of a job, or maybe a divorce, or bad health. But we grieve also, just like you stated, when we leave home for the first time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes, that's the type of grief, and we have to go through that. Amen. Anybody else? Very good.
Amen. Excuse me. This is Sister Johnson. Good evening.
Good evening, Sister Johnson. Glad to have you with us.
Amen. You know, Pastor, you were just saying something taken out of your life. And so, you know, I recall that I had a loss, but it wasn't a death. It was my grandson.
Mm-hmm.
And I got him and raised him from the time he was 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he lived with me and we had formed this bond and I was just mama to him.
Mm-hmm.
And when he reached the third grade, his mother called me and said that her mother said she needed to get her son. Well, I didn't want to give him up, but I didn't want to go through no whole lot of legal stuff because she was his mother and she had the right.
Right.
But anyway, prior to that, while he was living with me, I would take him over there to visit her. And he would always call me when he was ready to come home and say, Mama, can you come get me? And I'd go right on and get him. Well, when she took him from me, and that became a problem because we had formed this bond. So he gets over there and he calls me and he said, Mama, can you come and get me? And Mama couldn't go get him. And I've never been so hurt in my life. I never felt pain like that in my life. Because I'm thinking, he's going through the same thing I'm going through, but he's a child, and he don't understand. Yeah. He don't understand why mama can't come and get him now. And so it went on and on and on, and it caused me to get very bitter with her and to get very angry with her and to just get ugly with her. She wouldn't let him call me and stuff like that. And, you know, from that point on, he's here with me now. Again, he's 23 now. But from that point on, you know, it went through that. And, you know, I remember you, Pastor, saying, you know, sometimes you just didn't want to talk to anybody. You just wanted them to leave you alone. I didn't want to talk to nobody. I just laid in my bed late at night, and I cried, tears on my pillow, and I cried out to God. And, you know, I prided myself on being somebody that's really strong, that God had given me a great measure of strength. But that weakened me. That hurt me, and it grieved me. And so, you know, the grieving process is just a journey, and I just had to take it one step at a time, one day at a time. But during those steps, I was bitter. I was angry. I cried, and I was thinking about him, not understanding that, why I'm not coming to get him. When in times before he called, I could always go pick him up. So, you know, God eventually helped me through that. But at that point, I was angry. I didn't want to talk to anybody. We had formed this bond. I loved him. He loved me. And I was just mama to him.
Amen. And
that's just what I want to say on that.
Thank you. Amen. It's real. So, once again, class, let us not forget we are emotional people. And tears is not a sign of weakness. I used to get so tired of people at funerals when they see loved one cries, be strong, be strong. And, you know, I would just say, leave him alone. I'd be one to say, just leave him
alone.
We're people. Tears are not a sign of strength. Your belief in God, God is our strength. And can't let you take that away. Amen. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us. Anyone else? Okay. For the remainder, we're going to look at 6 through 10. Number 6 is make use of rituals. Rituals do more than acknowledge the death of someone. They provide you with support from caring people and whether the way to mourn. Don't, when you are grieving, even though we don't want to be bothered, you need to be around people. You know, people of your belief, you know, rituals. You know, we have certain rituals. Like every day when I get up, I got to go outside. Even in my grief process, I need to keep that up. If you have a ritual of going to get the newspaper in the morning, even in your grief process, you need to keep doing that. Whatever you do, all of us got some type of ritual that we do constantly. You know, you need to keep doing it. I'm talking about something healthy. So you don't want to get out of what you keep doing, because what that does, that keep your mind, that brings energy to the mind, and you keep functioning because of what you're going through. And so it brings you into it. Also, your rituals, as you're going, whatever you do, get the newspaper to the store, it brings you in contact with other people. And sometimes even you're grieving, God gonna put somebody in your path that they'll just come up and open up to you about what you was going through. And for that time that y'all engaging, you ain't thinking about what you was going through. You are supporting this person that is sharing with you what they're going through. And so it provides support for us as well as a way to mourn. Okay? So when we're grieving, we can't make the process go away as if it never happened. Somebody already had forestated, we got to go through the process, the healing process. The 7th thing say, embrace your spirituality. If faith is a part of your life, express it. It's okay for you to say, God is with me. God is going to give me strength. God is going to see you through. God's going to see me through. So be with people who understand and support your religious belief. But once again, this is why it's important that we tell the unchurched generation the importance of being in church. The church is the only place you can go that you in a assembly of people done experienced everything that goes on in the world. That's the only place you're going to find that is in the church. And when we become a part of that assembly, somebody there can identify with what I'm going through. You don't feel like you're the lone ranger or the lone stranger. And somebody understands. Somebody feel your hurt. Somebody feel your pain. So be with people who understand and support your religious beliefs. Yeah, I talk to lots of people all the time, and I done met some strange folks just this month. And I don't hang around them because we got different beliefs. I done met some weirdos this month for some reason. And I don't hang around. I listen to them, but I said, y'all got strange beliefs. So this is what we have. Embrace your spirituality. In spite of what we're going through, you may not feel like praying. You may not feel like coming to church. You may not feel like reading your Bible, but you still acknowledge God.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So the eighth thing is search for meaning. Eighth thing, search for meaning. You might ask, why did he or she die? Why did they take my mama? Why did they take my daddy? We would just have that. He would just become a part of my life. And you see, as the ecclesiastic writer tells us, there's a time and a season. And normally when our loved ones, our mother and father, and you know, when, you know, they go home in their season. But yet and still, we ask that question, why? God, why did you take them at this time, at the peak of our life, at the best time of our career? We had such a good relationship, and all of a sudden, they're gone. So this is a part of grief. You're searching for meanings. Now, you may not never come to the conclusion in the process. It's usually after we have gone through that we find comfort. But in the meantime, we don't find that. And sometimes we ask, why this way? Why this way? Why, you know, why did they have to suffer? Or why did they have to die of this type of death? You know, why this way? Why now? And some questions might have answers, others don't. But we have to be careful of cliched responses that people might give you, such as it was God's will. Or think of what you have to be thankful for. You know, these sentiments are not helpful, and you don't have to agree with them. You know, I've heard people, but you know, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, you know. And you know, I'd be wanting to tell them, if that's the case, we tell God to take yours and give me mine back. You know, people got all of these cliches. But you see, now, people with all of these cliches, they mean well. And I thank God that we as the Black church, we done cut back on a lot of these remarks at our funeral. I praise God for that. That's overkill and a bunch of nonsense, you know, speaking from a pastor's view. So now we can be real sensitive and meet the needs of the people. Man. You know, say things that's comforting to the people and, you know, not come up with a bunch of these cliches that has no meaning. So we search for meaning. It's okay to ask God why. It's okay to ask God, why did it happen now? And, you know, it's okay because that's a part of the process. And so even when we don't be human and don't allow our emotions to come to the forefront and express themselves, you just prolong the healing process. As Minister Johnson just stated, it's okay to be weak. Yeah, don't try to be more than you are. So that's a part of the process, searching for meaning. The ninth thing, treasure your emotions. I mean, treasure your memories. Memories are one of the best legacies that exist after the death of a loved one. You know, my mother and daddy have been gone over 20-some years, and they died 6 months apart. But every time me and my brothers get together, we talk about memories. You know, daddy said this. You know, Thanksgiving, if daddy were here, he would have did. You know, if mother were here, we'd all sit down at the table together. We ain't gonna eat till everybody get here. And so we value those memories. And, you know, now those memories is more valuable now. And once our loved one is gone, memories live on. They are precious memories. and they live on. And when we gone, the generation that come after us, hopefully we live memories that they would talk about us when we gone. And that's the cycle of life. We'll plant seeds of love and comfort and kindness in the generation that's coming up behind us so that when we gone, they have things to talk about, memories. And when we get into one of our support groups, we're going to talk about season of life. And when we get into the season of life, you know, certain holidays bring about certain memories, things of that nature. So season of life. And one good thing about Facebook, which ain't too many of them does, and praising God, but one thing about Facebook, I noticed that many people getting on there sharing memories of their loved ones, their birthdays, and things of this nature. And that's a good platform. And if that's what it takes, that's a part of the healing process. Because when you put that out there, you're going to develop a support group by the remarks that people say. And so that's what it's about. Treasure your memories. Find others with whom you can share them with. And now the great thing that when we get out, even here in the church sometime when we get here early, I call it the fellowship hour. We share memories of how we grew up and things that our mama said, they wouldn't tolerate, and you know, even some of the chastisement, some of the corrections. Those are memories.
Amen.
And they live on. And so when I get to number 10, we're going to close up right there, and then we're going to open up for you to share, have more remarks. So we just talked about it, number 9, treasure your memory, mean to value your memories. You know, when you got your loved ones, your mother and your daddy and your husband and your spouse, y'all raising your kids, treasure those moments. Treasure those moments. They're very valuable. Number 10 says, move towards your grief and heal. Move. Go forward in your grief process. And as you're going forward, you're going forward toward the healing process. Reconciling your grief will not happen quickly. In other words, as I stated earlier, healing is a process. A wound ain't going to heal overnight. But you have to go through the process. Remember, grief is a process, not an event. I'm going to read that again. Grief is a process. In other words, you have to go through the process. It is not an event. Now, event is something that if you go down there at the Reunion Arena, American Airlines Center, you go down there and pay your money, and the event is over in 2 hours, it's over. Mm-hmm. It ends quickly.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Grief is a process. Now, the process could take days, months, or years. Mm-hmm. And so, in other words, in this process, be patient with yourself. Allow yourself to grieve. Allow yourself to go through the process. Allow yourself to go through the healing process. Don't try to be a superhuman, a super Christian. Well, we're going to bind this thing, and you know, okay. Go through the process. Avoid people who are impatient with you. Get in a support group. Some folks are impatient. Girl, every time I come over here, you just sit around here crying. You know, you don't need those silly things. They say it's just silly. You don't need them. Find some people who are patient with you. You don't need impatient support group. Neither you nor those around you should forget that the death of someone that you love changed your life forever.
That's right.
Now, doing this life-changing, the death of a loved one, divorce, or either, as Sister V gave a good illustration, losing your physical abilities, now you're limited. Now you have to make that transition because life goes on. So during the process, my life is adjusting because I got to continue to live. During the process, even though I lost a loved one, I got responsibilities. I got children. I got other responsibilities. I got to take care of things that have been left behind. So I got to continue on in my grief process. I still got to take care of business. Life goes on. Life didn't stop when you went through divorce. Life didn't stop when you had to go to the doctor. Life don't stop because someone is taken out of your life. Life goes on. But what I got to do in my grief process, in my healing process, I'm transitioning. I'm making changes. I'm making adjustments in the midst of all of my tears and sadness, so that when I'm completely healed, I can step out and go on. But I still got memories. Amen. So in our last five, we talked about make use of rituals, embrace your spirituality, search for meaning, treasure your memories, move toward your grief, and heal. Okay, so we're going to open it up for the remainder of the time for remarks, comments.
Pastor, you know, my mom has been dead over 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a single day that I don't think about her. It's just
Amen.
Like it just happened yesterday. With
yes.
me. My
yes.
mom and I was very close. Very close.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I think I'm still grieving to a certain degree.
Amen.
But I just don't, you know, I just don't wally in it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, very true. It's a possibility that you are.
It's still there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Amen.
That's a terrible feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that's our human nature. That's our human nature. So can't nobody tell you, refuse to allow someone, Gary, you should have done been over there that many years.
That's
yeah.
right.
No, don't listen to them. Go through the process.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Thank you. Anybody else?
I think what hurt so badly was
mm-hmm.
my mom didn't get a chance to see any of my children.
Mm.
Neither was I married when she passed away.
Oh,
so
okay.
I think that's what, you know, really kind of still with mm-hmm. me.
Amen. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, okay.
So
thank
true.
You. Okay. Anybody else?
You know, Pastor, I was a daddy's girl. My father died.
Uh-huh.
It's just the strangest thing. I did grieve with him, and I think I grieved almost, probably not as long as I'm still with, like, just my mom keep popping up because my mom was still here. And I think
mm-hmm.
I grieve more now because I don't have any parents here. But
Amen.
See, my mother was that clutch for my dad, so.
Yeah.
But even though, you know, he was a big part of my life. But I would, you know, it just, I seem like mm-hmm. I grieve more now since both of them are gone.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing that my parents often talked to us about when we was going, even before they got old and feeble, they talked to us about dying, that one day they
mm-hmm.
wasn't going to be there. They that was a part of the conversation.
That's right.
And so even when it happened, you know, we didn't want fully accept it, but you
Amen.
Thought about what they talked to you about.
Thanks.
And even
Amen.
Today, I talk to my sons about that very same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know, hey, one day, mom and dad ain't going to be here. So, you know, you need to prepare. Yeah, even though in our best preparation, we're not totally prepared. But I think it does the generation good if you talk to our kids about
Man.
That.
Man.
You know,
Man.
Yeah.
But, you know,
Amen.
Most children don't want to hear that, though. They don't want to think
no.
of that.
No,
well,
they don't.
You know, it was some of my brother didn't want to hear it either, but they kept on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's a cycle.
Just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get into my grief because I'm still grieving. But I do
yeah,
want to share this. When someone you love becomes a memory, the memory becomes a treasure.
Amen.
You
know,
I got that from
mm-hmm.
my mother died.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I think all
Amen.
Of us should have that.
That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Amen.
Yeah, if you don't lost a loved one, you should have those treasured memories.
Yes, sir.
And even some of those old sayings or cliches that they use, you know, such as the Lord's will, I see you tomorrow. You know, that was you know. So some of those things still live
yes.
on, and they'll be passed on from generation to generation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone else? as we prepare to close
out.
You know what, Pastor? Go ahead.
Seems like some of the old cliches that your mom distilled in you all, it's the same, some of the same things that my mom used to say to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are.
Right.
It seemed like
the
way it seemed, we were almost reared up together, some of the things that I hear you say.
Oh, yeah.
My mom said that too.
Mm-hmm.
My mom.
It's a very good saying, though. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't taking that for granted.
You can be in the pulpit and you say something, I just get tipped. I say myself, Lord, if that ain't my mom, my Lord.
Amen. Yes. But you see, go ahead.
You know, some people, when I used to just tell my mom and dad had passed, they died here at home. And this is grown people asking me, are you afraid to stay in this house now? Both your parents died in the house. I said, I'm glad. They were
amen. Yes. Amen.
Everybody I talk to, I'm like, you're not scared? I said, no, I'm not afraid. I said, no, they're old as they are. And they ask me if I'm scared to stay in the house.
Yeah. Well, but either way, yeah. Well, you know, if we were afraid to go to places where people done died, we would never drive on our freeways and streets.
When you were younger, older.
Yeah, but people, you know, there's people that have been taught, and there's those that, as Paul referred to, as ignorant, unlearned. So people have, you know, everybody, a lot of people got their own different looks about death and, you know, these, you know, just program wrongs, but we too busy living to think about, you know, where somebody died. So, yeah.
I just want to add something right quick, Pastor. Sister V just said what people ask me about, am I afraid to stay here because my mother and my husband died right here with me. And I said, no, I'm not afraid. They not going to bother me. I've never been afraid.
Amen. You know, yeah.
They love me and I love them, so they're not going to hurt me.
Amen. Wow. That makes it more beautiful.
I hope my parents, they own home. They're not putting no home in
it. Yeah.
I got a, excuse me, I got something that I would like to share. There was a lesson that I taught today. My son was sitting in the living room, Donovan. As y'all know, he's 18 and he's growing up. He was watching a television show on the big screen. So I was sitting behind him in my medical chair and I was asking him questions and he partially answered one question. He didn't say anything else. So the last time I asked him, I said, well, hey son, why aren't you talking to me? He said, Dad, because I'm trying to watch this program and you're actually interrupting me. So, you know, a lot of people would have gotten mad. I got up and walked to my bedroom. I said, okay, son, thank you. And he didn't understand the answer. So he sat there for a moment. Then he came in the bedroom. I have a sofa that sits by the window. I was sitting looking out the window. He came and sat down next to me. And this has a moral. And he said, Dad, I am so sorry. It seemed like I disrespected you by telling you that. I said, son, I said, let me tell you the truth. You really didn't disrespect me. I say, you know something? What I really appreciate is I've trained you to always be honest and tell the truth. And what you did, you turned around and just spoke the truth. And you told me why you were doing what you did. Without making up an excuse like, oh, I didn't hear you or this, anything else. I said, I've always told you to be honest. And I said, as a man, I want you to be a leader. And people respect it when you're honest, even though sometimes the honest answers are tough. And I told him that my dad would always tell me about being honest with him, don't lie, so he can cover me. And I just went into tears. And he said, Dad, you finna cry? I said, yeah, because my father's gone. I said, I'm the oldest now. And I said, all of his brothers and sisters, everyone's dead, and I'm only 63. And I said, I have to set an example in teaching you and my kids and everyone I come in contact with the importance of the lessons we learn from our parents and the elders in our family on how to express that and live in this evil and cruel world. And he sat there, and I just laid on his shoulder, and I cried for a moment, and I thought about my dad. I said, man, all those lessons he taught me and he told me came back to me. And it weighed heavy, but it was a release. I told him, sometimes, son, as a man, you got to sit down and just cry by yourself.
All right.
Because when you put it in God's hand and you're crying, those lessons come to you and they mean so much. And then when you look back, it took me 20 years to see some things on how God had worked all of this out. So some of you would say the kid disrespected, but no, I want my kids to tell the truth, even though the truth may be out of context. But it was something that I really appreciated because I'm raising men that are going to be Christ-like. And they're not going to lie to you just because that's what you want to hear. So that was a lesson today. And I'm still grieving a little bit about my dad.
Amen. Good. It's a process. Brother Don, by you not responding quickly, you gave him, made space for him to come and amend, you know, to clarify where another parent, you know, might have been quick triggered and thing would have took a different way, in a different way. Amen. So thank you for sharing that with us. And we have to talk to our kids about this. We have to share with our kids. We also have a segment in here about grieving teens, about dealing with our kids. I think just a few weeks ago, I had never looked at it. Someone said, well, how come are you going to make your kids come to the funeral? And the parents say, no, I'm not going to force them to come. They don't want to come. They ain't got to come because they're going to have their experience for themselves. They stay in this world long enough. And so that made a lot of sense to me because I had never thought about it like that, you know. They said, no, that don't make them come because if they live in this world long enough, they're going to experience it. Yeah, so.
Uh-huh.
All right. It might be something as a parent. You might not want to force your kids to come to funerals and get involved in some of these things that we're involved in, but that's just up to the parent and to the family, but be considerate. Amen. So thank everybody for your remarks. Anybody have anything else? Just we've had great discussion, great observation, great comments. Anyone else?
Yes, Pastor. When I came on the line, you guys were Sister V was giving everyone a word. Uh-huh. And I just wanted to share my little word.
Okay.
It's believe. My word is believe. Mm-hmm. I still believe in amazing grace. I still believe that there is power in the blood. I still believe that he walks with me. I still believe that he talks with me. I still believe because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I still believe in all because of the old rugged cross. Both all my parents are deceased. And I've lost two sisters, so I am a barrel of walking grief. So I just ask you all to continue to pray with me and for my family as we learn to live with the absence of their presence. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, Sister Jackson. All right. This time we are going to Sister Walker's in the hospital. We want to pray for her. She's in Baylor Hospital. She has an intestinal infection of some sort. So, but she's doing well.
Okay, great.
Anyone else we need to pray for?
Is that Sister Brenda Walker?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, I just wanted to clarify the one. She sit over there by me sometimes.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Just me.
Anyone else? Okay.
I don't know if you know, Pastor, but Sister Maria, that drummer's, you know, friend.
Yes.
Her, she took her mother back to the hospital.
Yes. So, okay. She was showing me last Sunday she had to leave because she had some specialists coming out to the house. She had to leave service early. Yeah, so her mama back in the hospital. We'll pray for her, too.
Yes. Right.
Okay, anyone else? Next week, we will be back in the sanctuary on Wednesday. Are we still going to keep our conference number? We are not going to do away with nothing that is set up. We just want to come back into the sanctuary Wednesday only for Bible study, but we will still have our conference line open for those that are not here. And Monday, we still use the conference on Monday. So since we got it, we want to keep it available. And the reason we don't want to have to close it in case we have to go back to doing everything on conference call, you will still have the same number and everybody be familiar with it.
Excuse me, Pastor Adam.
Yes, ma'am.
Just to make a correction, we're going to do something different next Monday. So
we will be
Monday,
okay, what's next Monday?
So next Monday for Bible study, we're going to integrate a conference call with a Zoom call and go live, take Facebook live, take Bible study live on Facebook. So
okay.
For next Monday only, we're going to try something different in an attempt to reach more people for Bible study. So for next Monday, you'll want to make sure to either check an update. Sister Villa sent out a text or check the website for login instructions because the number might change. And this is just a pilot that we're going to do to just test something new in an attempt to reach more people.
Amen. Very good. Thank you. Let me say this about College Park as a whole. We thank God for Minister Michelle and Reverend Thomas and Reverend Lester and Sister Whiteside. One thing here at College Park, we praise God for. We are ahead of the curve on most churches when it comes to technology, because a lot of churches the technology that we're using. A lot of churches having to pay people to come in and set it up and to work with them. But we have been blessed to have all of this right here amongst our ranks. And one pastor asking me, he said, y'all service, what type of camera are y'all using? And we just using a cheap cell phone. cell phone? He said, y'all do all of the cell phone? I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I said, you know what they say, the Lord will make a way. And they think that we have cameras, which we are going to get some cameras, praise the Lord. But right now, we are learning, and we thank God for what God is doing. We are using all this technology, as Minister Lester said, the pilot program we're experiencing. So these are some of the things. This is the way that the church is going in the 21st century. So don't take it lightly. If you have an opportunity, get involved, jump in, and get familiar with it, because this is where we are. And as she stated, we can use it to reach out and get more people. Because there's a lot of church doors that open. There's a lot of churches that is closed.
Yes,
it is. Our church is open. So we ask that when you come into the sanctuary on Sunday, let us practice safe distancing. Wear your mask. Whatever you want to do, your gloves, your cape. Wash your hands, sanitize. Let's be safe. Let's be safe when you come in and be considerate when you come in and when we exit. Just get in your car and go home. If you talk to somebody, keep your distance. We want to keep going. We want to keep our doors open.
Amen.
I believe by the grace of God that we are people is calling. Oh, y'all church is open? I said, yes, sir. God never closes his church. And God has blessed us to keep our doors open, and we want to be safe. And just give God praise and be prayerful. This virus ain't going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Not going anywhere yet. Oh, I forgot. On next Wednesday.
Hold on, Pastor, real quick. With that said, I just want to reiterate as far as the safety in the church, all the seats that have the pink tabs on the back of them. Those are the seats that we're asking you all to sit in. As a family, you could sit on that row because that actually helps the distancing. sometimes we just sit in, we just so used to sitting in our spots or sitting in a spot we're used to sitting in. But if we sit where those pink tabs are on the chairs, and then, like I said, we sit in the pink tabs or a family sit on that rope, it really helps to it helps to separate. Last Sunday, we had a kind of like a group of people over on one side, and you know, I asked a couple of them to move, and they did, but they were just too close because they were just sitting in the seat. But those pink tabs are where we're asking that you sit, which will enable safe distancing with everybody within the church. Again, I understand you have a favorite seat or a favorite spot, but just to keep everybody safe and to keep that distance, we're asking you to sit where those pink tabs are on the back of the seat. When you first come in, you can see them. I don't know if you all saw them and just didn't know what they were for, but that's what they're for, to help distance, to keep, you know, keep everybody safe at a good safe distance from each other.
Amen.
And we also want to keep Sister Maria herself in prayer, and also the Gaines family. We want to keep them in prayer also.
Okay. Yeah, so it takes all of us to have a safe place of worship. It takes all of us working together and to keep the house of God safe. Our place is clean. Our building is clean. It is sanitized twice a week, wiped down, sprayed. I mean, it is clean. It's cleaner than the hospital. I mean, the next cleanest place in our church is heaven. And so
Amen.
I think that's, so feel free to come and worship. We're going to have to live in this pandemic. It ain't going nowhere. So we're going to have to live, but I think that we can live safe and enjoy life in the midst of all of this. Yes. Amen. Okay. So we want to pray for the Warwer family. On Saturday, they're having a memorial service here for one of their family members. So just a memorial service. I think the family member has already gone to the crematory. And so we just having a memorial service here Saturday. So we want to pray for that family. They buried one family member on last week. So let's keep them in prayer. Okay. Anything else? Anything else we need to bring up or talk about? Okay. So we'll give you updates and announcements through the week. Once again, thank all of you for filling in, all of the ministers for stepping up. Great teaching throughout the month of July. Great preaching, great support. So thank God for all of you. College Park is the best church in the world. Amen. So just praise God for your church.
Amen.
Amen. And you are the church. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we are so humble and we're so thankful, Lord God, that you choose a people like us to dwell in the midst of. We thank you for the many blessings that you have showered down upon us, deserving and undeserving, and you just continue to express your love and shower us with grace and mercy. And Lord, some of our family members in the hospital dealing with physical ailments and physical infirmities. But your word tells us, Lord God, that all sickness is not unto death. And Lord, because you are the great physician, you are a healer, you are a deliverer. And Lord, we just ask, if it's your will, that you would touch them right now, wherever they may be, whatever they might be diagnosed with. And Lord, just let them rise up from their bed of affliction and let them go back to their homes, Lord, enjoy the comfort of their homes. And then, Lord, in their own due season, let them share the testimony that you are a great physician, that heals all manner of sickness and diseases. And Lord, we lift up those in that hour of bereavement, not just here at College Park, but throughout the universe. There's many that is dealing with the loss of loved one, financial loss, a divorce, suicidal. But Lord, we just lift them up before you in this hour. We ask God that you will comfort them in your own way, through people, through visions, through your word, through songs, Lord. We just ask that you would send a comforter, because you said that you were going away. And if you go not away, the comfort cannot come. And Lord, the comfort is here. And we thank you, Lord, because you know that these things that we're experiencing now, there was going to become a season when we would have to deal with grief and death and the loss of loved ones. So God, we just thank you for you have prepared us for all things that's happening under the heavens. So we ask that you would be with us, that you would watch over us, continue to make provision for us. And Lord, we pray for all of the pastors. Many, Lord, operating in the hour of fear and uncertainty. But God, we ask that you would speak to them, that let them know, Lord God, that you have called us to feed the sheep. And Lord, let us continue to serve in the capacity that you have called us to serve in. And we thank you, Lord God, for our senior saints that is faithful and committed to the work of the kingdom and support and the ongoing of your church. We just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We thank you for all that you're going to do. So you said that you would add to the church such as should be saved. And Lord, we just thank you for those that have been saved on this day. We thank you now. And we ask, Lord God, that you would continue to be with us and that you allow us together to come again, that we might praise you and honor you for your mighty and marvelous works. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank y'all.
Amen.
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 Lord, we'll see you Sunday.
Amen. Amen. Be blessed.
Be blessed.
Bye.